Well, hello everybody, to all of our Springs family and the Miracle Channel family and everyone else joining us wherever you are around the world. It is just great to connect through this television camera. I hope and I pray that things are going well in your life, and we're in different times, weird times, crazy times. We'll learn a whole lot more when this is over, and I believe it's going to be over quickly, not in a long, drawn-out way, so let's keep praying that way. I want you to keep praying for our leaders, our prime minister, all our health people. Pray, just believe God for all that's going on around us, because we are the Church of Jesus Christ. We stand strong, we make it through, and when the dust clears, when the smoke clears, we're going to still be standing. And so if you are a person of faith, that's going to be you too. Hey, I want to let you know as well that Miracle Channel is opening up for free. It's a video on demand called CORCO, C-O-R-C-O. You can go to miraclechannel.ca and have a ton of great Christian kids cartoons, movies, teachings, documentaries that are all so safe and wonderful. And now's a great time with all the kids and people at home to access some great stuff. So CORCO, C-O-R-C-O, go to miraclechannel.ca and it'll guide you how to get there and all that you need to know to watch some great stuff that I think is really going to encourage you. All right, well, I'm going to pray and we're going to dive into the Word of God, and I believe God's going to say something to you today that's going to touch you in a beautiful and in a powerful way. Father, I thank you right now for the presence of God. I thank you right now that faith says, even though I can't see around the corner ahead, I can trust in you that you've made a way, that you're going to see me through. And if I don't understand or see the future, I can hold your hand and each step of the way you'll guide me. I pray that prayer for every person watching, and let the peace of God come upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk today about three kinds of believers and three kinds of Christians. And I'm not going to go on the negative because there's religious people that I don't consider real followers of Christ. They're just religious. They got all their rules. They got all these things that they judge others with. Jesus didn't have much time for them either. He kind of, if he really was to kind of cuss somebody out, it was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. He said that their disciples, they made them a worse disciple of the devil than themselves. So religion, which is man-made rules for getting to know God, they don't work. So today I want to talk about believers, disciples, and friends. Believers, disciples, and friends. You see, I've noticed over the years in my life and in so many of those around me that those are the three things that I see, and they're actually connected. In other words, believers need to become disciples, and disciples need to become friends. And I think the order helps us. For example, when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Acts chapter 16 that then all you do is believe on Jesus. That when you believe on Jesus, you're saved. In Romans chapter 10, it says to believe on and believe that he was raised from the dead. And so this becoming a believer is to believe on Jesus. And the reason I'm talking about this today is because so many people want miracles, but they only want the miraculous to flow when they're in need. And they don't understand that the consistency of the supernatural flow of God comes out of faith and grace, and it comes out of relationship. And so as we look at this, when we first give our lives to Christ, we believe on Jesus. So we are believers. But the Bible doesn't say to go into all the world and make believers. It says to make disciples. And so in Acts chapter 16, they're talking about the apostles were in jail, and then they were, you know, supernaturally set free. They brought them out of the jail, and the jailer says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. So if you're going to believe on Jesus, you've got to hear the story. And that story is called the gospel. It's the good news of how Jesus died on the cross, took your sins, the curse of the law. He rose again, so you're not just forgiven, but you have a new life. And then he's at the right hand of the Father. He ascended into heaven, and he's in a place of authority. And because of that, you and I share in that authority with Jesus. So we believe on Jesus. And when you give your life to Christ, you know, in our church, I always pray and say, I want you to pray this prayer. But if when they pray that prayer, they don't believe on Jesus, the prayer's not going to get you saved or to heaven. We must believe. Now, once we believe on him, the Bible encourages us to become disciplined followers of Jesus. If you're going to be able to speak to mountains and have that problem, the mountain represents your problem, and have the problems in life, whether it's sickness or poverty or the things that are pushing at you and I, if we're going to be disciplined followers of Jesus Christ, then the Bible teaches us we've got to get into the Word of God. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. Set you free. Well, the word set you free automatically means that you're locked up, you're stuck, you are in bondage. And so many Christians just want to believe, well, you know, I don't have time to read the Bible, go to church. I just don't have time for all those kinds of things. But I love Jesus, and he'll see me through. He loves me. Well, I get that he loves you, but that's not what this verse says. It says, for the way for you to be free, free from what? Free from anything that the dark side, you know, that the kingdom of darkness would throw at you and I, is that we must know the Word. We must live in God's Word. Every day we must abide. This word abide means to live in the Word, to get to know God's Word. And it says, and you will become disciplined in the Word. Then the truth you know is going to set you free. So listen to me. It's not enough to be a new believer. If you just stay a new believer, you are a baby Christian, and you don't want to stay there. You want to learn the Word of God. You want to discipline your life in the Word of God, because it begins to set you free. And when storms blow, when things push at you that you have been set free from because of Jesus, whether it's poverty, addiction, sickness, depression, whether it's from early death, people attacking you with their mouth or physically, there are promises to all of that. But what it's saying here is that you need to stay in God's Word until you become a person who is disciplined in knowing the Word of God. Now, here's an interesting story that Jesus teaches about what that disciplined life looks like. And by disciplined, again, I don't mean that you're disciplined with all these exterior legalistic things. You know, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't dance with those who do. And all the religious rules that people make. He's talking here about the heart, our heart for him. Listen to this story. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and they beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Well, what is the rock? Well, this rock literally means hearing Jesus teaching and doing it. This is really important, because so many people say, I've built my life on the rock Jesus. That's actually not what he's saying. He's talking about hearing and obeying the sayings, the teaching of Jesus. But then he says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and they beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Whoa! Now, so many people have this all messed up. I know a ton of pastors and people who, you know, they've been Christians for quite a while. They believe that storms teach you, that storms make your life better and stronger, and that God needs storms to build your life. But this story does not say that at all. As you read this portion of Scripture, and the same story is mentioned again in Luke chapter 6, 47 to 49, it says the storm came to destroy this person. So, when storms come in our lives, they don't come because God needs them to make you sick and bankrupt your business and steal your kid and wreck your marriage, and God's just trying to teach you something. God is not such an ineffective teacher that he sends or allows in this way a storm because he just is hoping that it's going to make you stronger. The house was strong before the storm hit it. The wind didn't put the nails in deeper on the siding. The rain that pounded the house did not stick the shingles on the roof better. When the earth shook, it didn't fix the walls and align them even better. The carpenter is who built the strength into this house. I like telling people the carpenter is Jesus. And when you begin to read the Word of God and see the teaching of Jesus and begin to do what he says, begin to grow in faith, begin to fall in love with Jesus, begin to recognize who you are in Christ, that you're forgiven, that you're a new creation, that this righteousness is a gift from God. You don't need to be self-righteous. As you begin to get into the Word and listen to it and begin to believe it and act that way, it says here that when the storms blow, you can't be shaken. Can't. It's got nothing to do with God not allowing the storm to take you. It says it can't be shaken. So, because it's founded on the rock. And what's the rock? The teachings of Jesus and doing the teachings of Jesus. Now, let's look at the other house. The other house, this guy heard the teachings of Jesus, but he didn't do them. He didn't understand God's grace. He didn't understand or begin to develop his faith. He didn't begin to develop and understand the cross. The most important teaching to every believer today is the cross of Jesus Christ. In fact, it's his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension to the right hand of the Father. When you understand these four incredible things from the cross to the throne, you know who you are, you know what's been done for you, you know what your inheritance is, you know how much authority you've got, because you're understanding what God has provided for you. This person built their house on the sand, or in other words, they didn't build it on the teachings of Jesus. They didn't stay in God's Word. And it says here that the storm and the blew and it beat on the house. And great was its fall. It didn't mean it had a crack in the window. It didn't mean that a few shingles came off. That the destruction of that house was great. It was finished. Listen to me. Storms come to destroy you. Where you build strength and faith and a trust in God is through His Word. It's through His Word. You know, one of the most beautiful things in my life is every time a storm comes, whether it's a financial storm, a physical storm, a person's mouth, you know, people attacking me physically, or whatever kind of situation I'm in, I always know God, oh, He's with me. He's here with me. He's not in the storm. You know, oh, I wonder if God's in that storm. Christians who are not disciplined in the Word, they don't know the Word. And so what happens is they follow teachings that are incorrect. Like, God is sovereign. Well, we know that. But they add a meaning to it, meaning God could change his mind. He promises deliverance, but he might put you in bondage. He promises healing, but he might make you sick. He promises blessing, but he might make you really stuck and unhappy. That sovereignty teaching is so messed up that so few people can really get to know God. When you know the Word of God, you begin to become disciplined in your thinking, disciplined in your believing, and it is so easy to believe God for a miracle because every lie that comes at you, it doesn't make it. In Ephesians chapter 6 is a beautiful portion of Scripture that gives us a real key to living this disciples kind of life. And it says here in Ephesians 6:10, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What? You mean I can be strong in God's power and in God's might? Yes, you can. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It goes on to talk about an evil day. When a storm blows, when something pushes at you, it is telling us that to have this armor on is a key. Now, the armor isn't some imaginary thing. The armor actually is knowledge of Jesus' teaching. And so the Apostle Paul is trying to give you an example. He's got an analogy here, and he's saying that the beautiful, powerful doctrines in the Bible, like righteousness, meaning you can't earn being right with God, it's a gift. Salvation, meaning you can't live good enough to be saved. You came as you are. As you begin to look at each piece of the armor, it is a revelation from God's Word. If you have believed on Jesus, let me ask you a question. Have you become a disciple? Now, please, I don't mean a religious person. A lot of people who become religious, they've got so many reasons why God won't do miracles. In fact, the longer they're in church, the less of the miraculous they see. The longer they're in a church, the less joy and peace they have. But if they know who Jesus is and they become discipled in the Word of God, understanding this new covenant, oh my, the joy of the Lord is their strength. The peace of God passes understanding. Standing. Miracles follow them day by day. They've got favor and blessing. And a lot of people, they're just religious. But to become a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ is to learn the Word. One of the things I love, I have a friend who went to be with Jesus, and he came from one of the denominations in England, and he taught in their universities and seminaries and trained all sorts of pastors. And I remember when he moved here to Winnipeg, and he sat just at the back to the right, and I saw this older couple, and as they were listening to the Word of God being taught, he would just have tears streaming down his face. And so after a couple of services of seeing this man here, and he kept coming Sunday after Sunday, I was able to get to him in the crowd and just meet him and find out he knew the Word so well. He knew languages. He knew Hebrew and Greek, and he was a brilliant man. And I said, why are you crying here in church? And he said, because when I hear you speak, I feel relationship, not just knowledge. And he went on to unpack that a little bit better than I'm doing it. But did you know that we have a relationship with Jesus? When we believe on him, and then that as a new creation, and then we begin to dive into his Word, you are going to see something phenomenal. You're going to see that what he has done for you on the cross, it makes you fall in love with him. A lot of people will tell me, well, I just don't have time to read the Word, don't have time to go to church. And I want to say something to you. When problems arise, like who could really foretell the virus and all the things we're dealing with right now as we look at everybody not being able to do their jobs and everyone sitting at home and the isolation that's going on and the businesses that are quickly going into trouble because you can't work and the economy. And who could have ever foreseen that? A lot of people think, well, I've got to go work on my business. Well, go work on it now. How are you going to do that? Well, you know, I've got to look after my investments. How are you looking after them now? There are so many unforeseen things in the world that who are you going to trust? You need to make time to get into God's Word. And as you get into God's Word, you begin to discipline your mind. It's not about do your suit just right, have your shoes just right. It's not about all these little bad habits. No, it's about getting to know Jesus and what He's done for you. Your eyes light up. You begin to realize you are royalty. You're made in God's likeness and image. As you discipline yourself in the Word and you see what Jesus has done, you begin to go, I am loved beyond belief. As you go and discipline yourself in God's Word, you will see a joy in how to have joy. You'll see how to walk in the miraculous. You'll see why the enemy can't steal miracles. You'll see why you don't have to be guilty anymore. You'll see why you don't have to deal with condemnation anymore. I can pray for you all you want, and you'll never walk in it. There are many things that only come when you discipline your life in the Word and learn about Jesus. So this issue of being a disciplined follower of God, and as you learn more and more, it's like armor begins to come on, protecting your chest, your head, your stomach, your feet, your loins. The Bible talks about the more of God's beautiful doctrines and thoughts, what He's done for you and I, as you learn it, that, whoa, your faith just rises. Because it says in Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So many people tell me this, well, I know so-and-so, and they had faith. You don't know what is in someone's heart. Faith is not being positive. Faith is not confessing scriptures. Faith is not staying motivated. All of those are important parts of this faith process, but Mark chapter 4 shows us that to develop great faith is a process. It's not just because you're so positive you've got better faith than the negative person. It's not because you're an optimist you have great faith and the pessimist has little faith. No, faith is a force, a substance, a trusting, and it is a supernatural ability. And it's hard to even explain to people, but you know when you've got it, and it comes from getting disciplined in the wonderful Word of God. We need to move from just being a believer to be a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ. I don't mean religious. I don't mean work on cleaning up every little external thing. I'm talking about the internal work of the joy, the peace, the freedom, the love that you begin to realize when you see God. That's the area. And then the third thing I want to talk about is a friend. Did you know there are some people in the Bible who are called a friend of God? A friend of God. You know, I have people who work for me. I have people who are in my family, in-laws, outlaws. I've got people who are neighbors, and that they all have a certain amount of relationship with me. But then there are those I would call a friend. And this person has my heart. This person trusts me, and I trust them. This person has a value and a love for me, and I have a value and a love for them. And so I call that person a friend, and it's hard to explain what the word friend means because so few people actually have real friends. I heard a popular psychologist say that if you have five friends in your lifetime that you hang on to, you are a rich person. Well, I would agree, but you know what? You can have way more than that once you understand friendship. In Proverbs 22:11, it says, "He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend." It's talking here about what's in your heart and what comes out of your mouth. That's interesting because it's the heart is where you have motives. So usually when people are friends, pressure and things reveal the motive for the friendship. What do you want out of that friendship? And friendships can be ended when you discover motives, reasons. But here, if your heart is right And your mouth, it says, is got grace on your lips. You don't destroy their reputation, reveal things that have been said in confidence. These things that make friendship so beautiful. These two areas, it says, kings will be your friend. There's a really stunning portion of Scripture that reveals for us how to be a friend of God in James chapter 4. And here it says, so you are not loyal to God. I'm reading it from the expanded version. It says, you should know, don't you, that loving or friendship with the world, loving the world or having friendship with the world is the same as hating, hostile, having enmity towards God. Anyone who wants to be a friend of the world becomes God's enemy. You go, what? Then it goes on to say, do you think the Scripture means nothing that says, or says for no reason, the Spirit that God made to live in us wants us for Himself alone? It says God yearns jealously for the Spirit He has made to live in us. It says, or the Spirit God placed within us tends to jealously desire things. For God's jealousy for His people is, sorry, I mixed up the reading of it, but it's talking here that God wants to get to know us. I'll tell you a story. As a pastor, of course, as in everybody in life, you can have people that love you for a while, and then you can have someone that just hates you. Something happens, they hear a false report, and they're just angry and hateful. And there have been times when a very close friend of mine will stay in relationship with someone who is hating me, coming against me, saying things about me, hurting my reputation. And if I happen to mention it to them, go, oh, you know, you guys work it out. They're my friend. You're my friend. Now, I get that when it's just little things that are going on. Of course, we don't allow friends to make us end friendships. But when you've got someone that is hating you, or they have enmity, you're bad, they're trying to hurt you, destroy what you're building, and you've got a friend, they can't be their friend too. And so when God is saying here that you can't be a friend of the world and a friend of God, because the world hates the things of God. And I'm not talking about the world, because the word world has three meanings in Scripture. Here it's talking about the kingdom of darkness, the people who love to destroy church, stop God's work on the planet. It's saying you can't be a friend of the world, just, you know, wanting to be the friend of the world, trying to be in there, and then, oh, you're trying to like God too and love God too. It says it won't work. It says you cannot be a friend of the world and a friend of God. This is a heart issue. So if you want to be a friend of God, oh my, that's even better than being a disciplined follower, because I loved giving my life to Jesus and being a believer. And of course, we're always believers. And I loved learning the Word and becoming a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ, and will always be a disciplined follower. But the thing that has really, we all need to be aware of, is to be His friend. Now, you don't have to wait till you know certain amounts of Scripture. You can be His friend right away and just learn. But I'll tell you, for people who tell me, God's my friend, but they don't spend any time in the Word, I don't believe them. As soon as storms blow, they're gone. Their life is destroyed. Because as you get into God's Word and you see who He is, what He's done, you begin to love Him even more, even greater. Now, the more I get into what God's Word says, the more I trust Him. Oh my, when you trust God, it's incredible. And so I want to challenge you today. This issue of being a friend of God is something so few Christians do. Moses was a friend of God. Abraham was a friend of God. There are a few times in the Scripture where it mentions a friend of God. Jesus had some friends. Some of them were just disciples. Others were followers. Then He had some friends. I want to just challenge you today. When you look at what's going on right now with the world and this virus situation, and Christians are kind of getting a wake-up call, even those who don't know Christ are getting a wake-up call. There's something more important than just your financial stratosphere, than your career, than what you've built, because it can disappear like that. What is important? And you realize it's your relationships, your marriage, your family, but most importantly, the relationship between you and God. And so my challenge to you is this. Don't just try to stir your faith up and have great faith for miracles, because that great faith doesn't come just because you have an emergency. That great faith comes by being a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, disciplining yourself to learn what Jesus did on the cross for you and I, learning the principles, the authority the believer has. What is faith? What is God's grace? What is righteousness? These beautiful teachings that make you so confident. And as you are in there, you are going to fall in love with Jesus when you see what He's done for you and I. And this friendship begins to occur. You say, well, if I want to be a friend with God, God will be my friend. Actually, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says God knows your heart too. He knows your reasoning too. And you can be a friend of God's. And when you're His friend, there's just this fellowship, this communion that you can't teach people that. I mean, I'm showing you how to move in that direction, but it's not just do these three steps and you're His friend or sign on the dotted line. It's something that comes out of relationship. So to all those who are watching today, let's continue to get to know His Word. Because the Bible says a lot about knowing His Word. And if you'll abide in His Word, you'll become disciplined followers of Jesus. And you'll begin to learn truths that'll set you free in every area. And then as you do that, you'll become this friend that trusts, that knows, that understands at all times. It's one of the most beautiful areas of the Christian life, is to become a friend of God. Well, God bless you. I pray that you'll continue in this time. Begin to make time for God's Word. Begin to make time for church. Begin to make time to build a relationship with your loved ones and, of course, with God. Father, I pray right now the peace of Jesus. I pray right now a massive turning of even followers of Christ to become disciples and friends. And to those who don't know You, I pray they would choose Jesus and follow You in Your name. Amen and amen. God bless you.